Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Happy New Year. That's still relevant as long as it's January. It ceases to be relevant in February. It's very nice to see you. How are you? You okay? Amen. Now, Mommy, how is your mother? She's better or she's well? What was she suffering from?
Yeah, she used to have a lot of pain. She could not sit and all, but now she's getting better.
Amen. Okay. We see that healing in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I really am determined, and I hope so are you, that this is not going to be just another 365 days which come and go and nothing changes in your life. Amen? Because it is actually, as we get closer and closer to the end time and to the return of the Lord, years become more precious. Everything becomes a lot more precious. Every day becomes precious. And you have to understand, you know what the psalmist says, give me a heart of wisdom that I may number my days. Okay? Because when you start understanding that you're not here forever, and yet you have your time here to actually determine how you spend the rest of eternity, then you get a heart of wisdom. It says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, we know that this year is not going to be the same. Amen? It is absolutely going to be different. And it is going to be different for you. But it's also going to be different across the world. Glory to God. And everybody has to determine. Now, the thing here is that it is determining. You determine that this is not going to be like this. And there is nothing that happens without deep down a sense of determination that I am not just going to be the same person. Praise the Lord. And now when that decision is made inside you, then everything outside you will start aligning to that fact. Because in this end time, in this time that we are living in, there is no time to waste. There is absolutely no time to waste. In your personal life, in your commission, as part of a group, and in everything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to be excited about that. Amen? I want you to be excited about 2025. I want you to actually feel 2025 and you feel it inside your bones and say, this is going to be totally different. Glory to God. Now, the one thing that makes people understand, what makes people not miss out on important things, is their ability to read seasons properly. I'll start with the seasons in their life, in your own life. Praise the Lord. Because people fail to read the seasons in their life, just using the things surrounding you, and you fail to understand that this is a marker of a new season, you stay where you are, and then you stagnate. And then, of course, when you stagnate, you miss an opportunity to go to another level when it was availed. And it will take a while before that opportunity comes back. Now, that could have been you some years ago, but it can't be you now. Amen? Because now I've been praying to God that he brings us up to speed. All the time that was lost, he brings us up to what? And it promised me last year around October, September, October, I think October. He told me that scripture in Joel, that he is going to restore all the years that the locust has eaten for everybody. He told me that specifically. I'm not telling you what I read in the Bible, although it is there. He told it to me specifically that I'm going to restore the years that the locust has eaten. But that's what he told me. He also told me that time, long time, about how the thief has stolen, and now that he has been found, he's going to restore sevenfold. Amen? Praise the Lord. You see these things, you hear a word from God, and then something comes to cement it. Now, as soon as actually he told me that of the thief returning sevenfold, somebody here, who is here right now, sent me a dream that they had in regard to me. And a certain fool who calls himself an apostle and meets on Thursday and is Jezebel's whatever, right hand whatever. And make no mistake, those are servants of the devil. And I tell you what I know. Because of what he tried to do here, that person dreamt when that man was begging me to forgive him, and I told him to write me a check of $100 million as a token of forgiveness. And guess what? Not that he has it. I have a lot more money than him. But anyway, he wrote the check. But that's in the spirit. Amen? Eh? So if you know him, go and tell him that he's broke, but more brokenness is coming. Amen? Because whatever little he has is going to what? Do you know what it says? That when the thief is found, even if he has to give up all the substance, there is the scripture. Even if he has to give up all the substance of his house, he has to pay back sevenfold. Glory to God. Of course, now, in terms of me, it's also you. Eh? So, every thief that has stolen things from you, and which were meant to be yours, even if it was because of your own carelessness and your inability to wrestle for what was yours, sevenfold. Now, sevenfold. Praise the Lord. Okay. So even if they have to give up all the substance of their house, they have to recompense sevenfold of what they took from you. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a spiritual principle. It is not a principle of tuakuto mubi and then you hit him. And then you, no. It's in the spirit. And actually, the spirit is one thief. Okay? Only he has so many apostles. But one thief, the one of John 10:10, who cometh not but to do what? Steal, kill, and what? But he has so many apostles. Some meet on Thursday, others I don't know when. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anyway, you know, we are supposed to fight now. And you know I like fighting. The one thing that the Lord had to teach me is how to be temperate. As part of my character lessons, one of the things I learned is when not to fight. Because before I used to be a fighter. Like even when it wasn't necessary. Like I just felt I had to fight. Amen? I'm not talking about physically. Because there I would be at a disadvantage. You can meet somebody like what? Robert. And he puts you in your place. No, not physically. In a different kind of fighting. Praise the Lord. So now the Lord has to teach me how to calm down. Calm down. So not every war. So somebody comes and does this, says this, what. So you just calm down. So you know somebody is doing this and calm down. Relax. There is going to be bigger fish to fry at some stage. Amen? But now, towards the end of last year, you know I was telling you that now he's saying now we need your fighting spirit back. Amen? And I taught you that. That we need you to do what? Your fighting spirit to come back. But now when you are mature, not when you're immature like the other time. So now I fight from a place of maturity, not anxiety or excitement. And you know, you just get excited and you fight. Praise the Lord. Anyway, the scripture says that he makes all things beautiful in their time. Okay? He makes all things beautiful in their time. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Now, this is a very important scripture. And then he goes on to say, also he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Very important, all of that. He makes all things beautiful in their time. So there are things that appear to be beautiful just because it is their time. Now, when their time goes away, they cease to be beautiful. And now that shows that the spotlight has moved away from them and you are supposed to go away from them as well. Praise the Lord. That can mean anything. That can mean, let's say, job, which you got and it was beautiful in its time. But then after some time, it ceases to be beautiful. And it ceases to give you the joy that it once gave you. And something which was so exciting and which you'd look forward to becomes so boring. And you're doing it with a lot of labor. Then you know that its beauty has moved, has shifted. And you have to move with it. Now, that's how you don't miss your seasons. Because usually, what people will do is they'll try to stick there. Because they try to go back to, you know, to reminisce, to think back nostalgically. But I used to enjoy what happened. Then you don't know that actually there's never going to be a time when you enjoy it like you enjoyed it, or when you are going to enjoy it like you once did, because the cloud shifted and now it is no longer beautiful. And it was once beautiful. It could be an idea, it could be anything, something that came and was, you know, and it's their time. It's its time. So he says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Okay? Or you can say he has made all things beautiful in their time. So now this is, if you're sensitive, you can see this beauty on something in your life. I'm talking now about your life. This is the first season we are going to make sure that you do not miss. It can happen even to, let's say, a person, a friendship. It can happen to a house which you entered in one time and you were so excited about it. Then after some time, you just become bored of it. And it just becomes boring and there's nothing about it that is pleasant. And the house hasn't become bad, but it's not beautiful. Because its time has passed. Now it is time for you to look for something else, which if you find in the will of God, it will also be beautiful also for that time. Now that's how you are going to make sure that you are not left behind in, you know, and you miss seasons. Just knowing that, don't force it. Because you see now what we do, because you have a recollection of what this thing once was. But what happened? You know, this used to be a good word, you know. Even let's say even, it can even mean makes people beautiful. In their time. Amen? Yeah, and I've seen it. You know, there was a time I used to wonder, because people would come and there would be all these questions about why, you know, something like, let's say, marriage. And I said, but if God instituted marriage, it is his idea. It was never our idea. It is his. And somebody wants it. Why is it so difficult for people in the church to just find a partner and get married? What is the complication? Then I also learned that it is also what? It's time. He makes all things, all people beautiful in their time. Now, and I've seen this, I'm talking things that I've seen. You know, I've been around churches for so many years, longer than some of you have even been born. So, this lady is there, then suddenly out of the blue, everyone thinks she's the most beautiful person. Then she has like 5 people pursuing her. Then she comes, man of God, help me. This one told me once, but also the other one, also the other one wants me, but the other one, now what should I do? Because it's their time. Amen? But it doesn't last all the time. You see, now that's the mistake people make. So you enjoy the attention. You don't know it's a short time. Okay, it's a given time. Not necessarily short. So now, if you do not make the decision you're supposed to make in that time, and I've had people coming and telling me those things. Now this one is telling me likes me, but the other tells me likes me, but the other tells me likes me. So who should I like? And they think I'm going to tell them. I cannot. Amen? I said, you like whom you like. But my point is this. That is your time to make a decision. Because, and now God has opened the window for marriage. And then you enjoy the attention from this one. And you know, if you choose one, the others will go away. And you kind of like them to be around. Because it's good for your flesh. You understand? So now you say, should I go over anyway? Let me pray about it. You know Christian talk. Let me pray about it. Let me pray to find out the will of God. But in the meantime, when it's your birthday, all of them celebrate it. But you're still trying to find what? The will of God. And then you wake up one day and all of them have vanished. And now you start pursuing and now they are running away from you. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Hey. And now your time passed. You were supposed to make a decision, and that was a season. And God opens them for everybody. Everybody. So I actually went and started finding out what was it about. Then, though somebody was a friend of mine in the church. She was actually a friend of somebody I know. And she was like, at a, you know, an age which was a fairly advanced. And like she was so desperate for marriage. You know somebody who is desperate. And then she's pursuing some guy with all her heart and soul. But you know those things of real subduing, as if she wants to subdue a man. You never enjoy a man you subdue. I'm telling you. You can pray about it and, you know, but the scripture says, anyway, let me not go there. Because, but you know those things of, and where you're fixated on somebody. Let me tell you, those, and you fixate on, so she was so fixated on somebody. Then I looked at her, and she wasn't that, I mean, she was fair looking and, you know, apparently would have been a good wife to somebody. Then I started asking, and then I realized that there was a guy who benched her for like 3 or 4 years, but she wasn't the one she wanted. She had made a specification. Now, God is never going to respect those things. He has his will. And let me tell you, his will is always perfect. It might not seem so at that point. And actually, it rarely ever seems so. But you have to know that God knows things you don't know. So he will know the person who is best for you, even when you don't know. You understand? He knows your character. He knows you in and out and what. Then he says, this one is the one who can manage you. Because you're a complicated gas person. Then God says, the person who can manage you is the other one. I know. But the other one is not tall and handsome and what, you know, and whatever, you know, rubbish people put in their minds. Men and women. That is in Jagala Waru Susu. Go and buy ointment. You want Susu. You know, anyway, my point is, and there is a serious message I'm trying to communicate here. I hope you understand. Now, so this person told her story to the friend we shared. And that helped me a lot. This is so many years ago, because I used to wonder. So it helped me make up my mind about why it is. But it is always very complex for something which is so simple and was always God's idea. So there's this guy who was apparently working as a driver to one of, you know. So he benched this lady. Benched her. She jammed. And she said every time she would pray about a husband, it would be him. And God was clearly saying, that's the guy. Anyway, he did not fit all these other things. Remember, God does not deal with you based on who you are. He deals with you based on who you can be. And he can see everything when you can't see it. When even that girl who is saying no to you cannot see it. And yet he's seeing it and he's seeing who you are, who you can be. So anyway, eventually, the guy gave up. After a very long time of patience, he eventually gave up on her. Then proposed to another girl. They got married. Then suddenly the man got a very good job. Then now in the church, now he was one of the most loaded people. And that was the reason she didn't like him. And now she's there hoping people who have even quandulated break up because she wants the man. And you had the opportunity and you failed to see it in God's eyes. Now, I want you to know, he makes all things beautiful in their time. And in their time, they look so beautiful. And it is season. You have to just take advantage of it and know that now this has come and it seems like it is something that excites you and what? And that's the season. And you go for it and then you don't miss out on seasons. Okay? And then it also says, and he has also put eternity in their hearts. Now that means that your whole story from beginning to end is written in your heart somewhere. But he says, you cannot go, no one can find out the work of God does from the beginning to end. So in other words, there has to be faith involved. So you have to take the next step not knowing what the other step is going to be. And God has never been any different from the God who called Abraham and says, I'm going to come and I will take you to a place which I will show you. Now you just have to believe and walk. He hasn't even shown you. He hasn't told you where the place is. He hasn't told you anything. But you just walk and go with that little information. And it becomes clearer and clearer as you go ahead. Now that is the same God that we serve. He has never changed. Okay? Now he says, you cannot know the entire story, but yet you want to know. If you did, you would not do anything in faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So he will give you just a little to stir you up and see actually if you can believe, and then you step into it. And then the rest unfolds as you go along. Praise the Lord. Now he says, he has put eternity, but you know you can tell inside you that a time has come. And by the way, let me tell you, if you do not move when the season has moved, you sometimes, by the mercies of God, you will move through strife. God will create strife, which will cause you to move by force. But would have been better for you to go when he told you to go. First of all, when strife comes, you've already wasted time. So when your time is up at that job, suddenly everything starts going wrong. This, what, you are working in the bank, you made shortage, then they are taking your money off and what. Okay, and I'm not saying all the time that can be fighting you when it is still your season. But it has to come from within that your season is out. And you have to have resisted it for a while. Resist it because you're comfortable in a certain place. And now most people have that thing I was talking about last year about strongholds. Most people have a stronghold of comfort. Like they want comfort, taking them away from somewhere where they have settled and they are comfortable. They don't see any reason why they should move. And yet God doesn't deal like that. So anyway, and so now it ceases to be beautiful, but then they try to make it beautiful. We are going to stick here and so on. Anyway, so something inside you tells you that your season is up. And then eventually it might even talk to you and say, leave that place. Go now. He's done that with everybody, including Abraham. In Genesis 13, it says that there was strife, I think 13 or 14, between Abraham and Lot's herdsmen. And then Abraham was forced to say that let us separate. Now the scripture says God had spoken to Abraham and said, leave all your relatives, leave this land. And it never speaks again about him ever, God ever speaking to him again until after he separated from Lot. Because the other instruction was still not fully obeyed, because he went with some attachment to his old life, Lot. So now God creates strife between them. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Okay? So now he creates, but the scenario comes which would not have arisen if he had left him, if he had done it. Now afterwards, as soon as, you see, and the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him. Now this is the next time it speaks about God speaking to him. But in Genesis 13 it said God had spoken to him and he was waiting for the fullness of his separation from all his family and household. So now this, and I've seen this in real life. There's a friend of mine who told me that he is a man of God, but he was working at a ministry somewhere and was very active, and he started a prayer group within the ministry, and it was thriving. People would come and pray. You know those days when people liked praying communally? These days it's a problem. If I told you to come and we pray, you would see how many of you would come. Very few of you. But yet communal prayer has power. But let me not go into that. So people would come and pray. Those are these years, you know, early 90s. So the prayer group grew and he was enjoying it. Then he said one day the Lord told him that thing you're doing is not going to last. Then he's like, why? What do you mean? Then the Lord told him that, do you see the pastor involved in it? He says, anything that starts in the ministry when the head of the ministry is not involved cannot last. Then God told him, you leave that place. Leave that place. Imagine you've gathered your people, you come and pray water. And God is telling you to leave. How? Then later on, he told him, this is what he told me, that if you do not leave now, you will live in strife. So eventually, he did not leave. Amen? This is what, it's a big problem, and I'm sure God has dealt with these people for so long, from Abraham. Whereas how he tells you to, because he will tell you to leave at the peak of something. And you're like, man, how do I leave now? Things seem to be doing well. Anyway, so eventually, the pastor started becoming scared of this man's, the apparent respect that he commanded from the audience, from his people. So he went and, you know, asked other pastors, what am I going to do about this guy? It seems the people like him so much, and when he calls them, they come. And sometimes even, you know, when I call them, they don't come. What am I going to do about him? Now he's asking fellow pastors. Now this is the wisdom of the pastors. They told him, kati omuntu ngoyo oyino muono nila kuchituti and spoil his name on the pulpit. So this is the counsel, the wise counsel he got from what? From his fellow pastors. So one day, this guy, the prayer group was at the peak and what? Then he called him out. He said, Soko Jewan, brother God is Soko Jewan. That's, we heard you are in Buenzi. Totally false. Completely false. But he was carrying out the wise counsel of fellow pastor. So he created a scenario and what? So the man had to live in strife. He was basically chased out of the church like a thief. And his prayer group crumbled, as the Lord said. But then he learned a lesson. You either live in season of living, or you're still there and want to make something beautiful when it is no longer beautiful. And it was beautiful in its time. And this is a big, big temptation for all of us from Abraham. Something which is nice. It was good. It was good to have Lot, who is your relative. At least you're not standing alone. But then strife comes. Praise the Lord. Now he says, and now when this thing happens inside you, it is so important. First of all, I caution you. Always be sensitive to the seasons in your life. They come in all sorts of ways. The scripture says that when David became king, and then he got gifts from the king of Syria, and what? Then it says, then he knew God had established him. Now, what does that mean? That means that the time of the suffering, all the things he had been through, running away, what? Now he has sat on the throne. Now he's seeing kings of what would be enemy kingdoms coming and bringing him gifts. Then he knew that was the season. Now God has established me. Then he started doing things of comfort, which I will not say, because you will be what? Offended. Praise the Lord. You'll be what? Now David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. Now, when these things happened, David knew the king of Syria comes and brings him things. Now he understood the season of suffering has ended. Now it's the season of what? Of glory, of enjoying. Now I'm the king. And he had been through a lot. You know what he had been through. Okay? Suffering all these years, almost 20 years of suffering. And now finally he has sat on the throne. And then he knows that it is time for that. Okay? And so David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people. Now don't be offended by the next verse. Good verse 13. And David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem. You can say bought more cars. Don't take more wives. Amen? You can say bought more houses, bought more cars, and bought more. This is the New Testament. This is not the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. But see, some people get angry, as if I wrote the Bible. Anyway, I'm joking. But my point is that this is time of, you know, of gratifying yourself. Now, the trouble is that people want to gratify themselves before it is time. And there is a time for that. And there is a time for all of that. Actually, that's what Elisha told his servant, Gehazi. When Gehazi went and followed after Naaman and took gifts from Naaman, which Elisha had refused to take. And then when he comes back, and Elisha tells him that my spirit went with you when Naaman came off the horse and gave you all those things. Then he said, did not my heart go with you? The right translation is spirit. Did not my spirit go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Then he said, is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, and male and female servants? I want you to keep it there. Because actually, what Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, took was just a little money, a talent of silver, 2 talents of silver, and a change of clothing. Just that. That's all. But now Elisha said, Opapie, It wasn't yet time for that. Then he says the time would come when you would take money, clothing, that's what you had taken. But he added other things. Olive groves, vineyards, sheep, oxen, male and female servants. But you settled for little because you wanted it out of its time. Now it's going to get you leprosy instead of the other. And now, what he's saying, the time would have come when you'd have all those things in their time, praise the Lord. And there would be no leprosy. You would enjoy more than... Now you cheapened yourself and went and told a lie and told him, you know, give me just a change of clothing and a talent of silver. Yet actually there was a lot more at stake. Now the key thing here is time. And there is a lot that people do not understand about the time for something. Now even the time for gratification. There are people who become so comfortable in misery that even when God is trying to lift them up and they enjoy, they are guilty of the pleasures that God wants them to have. But although in fairness, these days those are few. There are more of those who want to enjoy before their time. And the scripture says somewhere in Ecclesiastes, woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. That's whose king eats in the morning. You wake up in the morning on a muumbo. Have you ever seen people like that, mostly in the villages? They have a sumptuous meal in the morning where you'd probably have a cup of coffee at something. Somebody has a whole moon. Anyway, woe to you, O land, when your king is a child. Now what shows is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Now there is a time for feasting, but it's not in the morning. In other words, there's a morning of something. You're building something fresh. And now that's what happens all the time. Even let's say like building, like even a ministry, let's say like Watchman, where you start and the ministry is radio show every Wednesday, and you jump on a boda boda, go to Spirit FM, and preach on Wednesday. And there's no feasting. Even when you get money for even a cappuccino, if somebody buys for you, you're happy. Amen. There is no feasting. It's just sowing. It's still mourning. But that's not God's plan. There's going to come a time of what? Of feasting. But now, if you insist on that, now that's what makes people start. You know, I remember I almost got into that trap. Somebody told me these messages you're preaching are so rare. Why don't you sell them to us? We shall buy them for money. And I said, that sounds like a good idea. Then the Lord told me, no, it's not. Give them out free. Ask anybody who wants them and send them out free of charge. So I did. Eventually the feasting started. Mpola mpola. You understand? Yeah. Mpola mpola. And but not in the morning. Now you say that what we learned, you can use that even to a household. Where your parent wants to feast in the morning. And he's doing things which are out of his measure of faith. So he wants to, he sees people driving, you know, Range Rovers and what, and he feels, yeah, now it's my time to do that. But then also on the other hand, and that says, when your king is a child, that means he's immature, and your princes feast in the morning. Go to the next verse. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. In other words, they feast at the proper time from a place of strength. Now I can afford the Range Rover, so I'm going to get it. And afford doesn't necessarily mean I have money in the bank. It means I have, my faith has grown to that level. You know, we don't need in money, but you understand. But now when you try and you see that all the time, even people, let's say going on TV, and you see this one was not yet ready for TV, because you, if it's a 30-minute program, they usually give you 25 minutes. The other ones are for adverts. 20 minutes, he's asking for money. Then 5 minutes, he gives a message. Then you know he wasn't ready for TV. Those who are ready for TV, don't even ask. Those who are supposed to be... Have you ever... like, let's say, listen, like to Joyce Meyer. Eh? Do you ever see her telling, bring money here, we are going off the station, what? She doesn't. She'll just come and preach her things and go. But somehow the money is there. Have you ever seen Andrew Womack on TV begging for money? He doesn't, because he's feasting in the proper time. Now, if you try to force yourself there, and because you've seen somebody doing it, you're a child, and you're not doing something in its time, Now there is a time for everything. Praise the Lord. There's a time for what? And now when you understand those seasons, now I'll tell you this, that there's a time even when something which was once a testimony becomes a point of shame. Amen? Where you're even ashamed to say something. Yet at some stage it was something powerful. And then even the Lord does what? Forces you something. You become comfortable. Iggy, I bought my car in 2019. I've driven it across this country 3 times. And I mean across almost every district 3 times. I bought it at less than 10,000 kilometers. My next service will be 100,000. Now, most people buy cars at 100,000 and they are new. I've driven mine for 5 years. Amen? Here is my point. It has a basic level of comfort and what. But now the other day I realized that man has to. The first thing I was, something, you know, now if you don't listen to it from within you, God will create circumstances. Now the other day I just started spewing smoke and I don't know why. Then I realized the time for it is up. I delayed. Amen? So the next one is coming soon. And now, it was up to me. It is never up to, you get comfortable and God is not good. Like, he has to push you. Then the other day, I was with some guy, a remnant. So we had been having a cup of coffee somewhere. So I reversed like this and I entered some lady's car. Poof. I said, what's this? I can't, you know, okay, there are certain things which I just don't happen. So I started thinking, why? Then the guy, the remnant, started asking me, but you've driven this car for so long. Now God is telling you that this season ended. Don't become comfortable. The car still looks good. You know, when you sit, it's comfortable. When I'm driving up country, it's you. But then the thing just starts spewing smoke out of nowhere. Then you take it to a mechanic. Now, once you start taking cars to mechanic, you know the time for them is up. Okay, that's if you're me, eh? So, blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princes feast at the proper time. Now, there is a time for feasting. You understand? Now, don't be comfortable in misery when there is a time for feasting. And God is seeing you're supposed to be feasting. You've suffered enough. Now it's time to what? To feast, and there's a table in front of you, but you're guilty. And I've been in that place where I'm guilty of my pleasures. And you go to it, and you're guilty of pleasures. Amen? And you have to get used to it. You have to get used to flying first class. I mean, when it's time for it. Amen? You have to get used to sleeping in the best hotels. Like, when it's time for it. Now, when God prescribes it is time for it, and you say, I'm modest. Man, you're messing yourself up thoroughly, and you're missing a season, and it's going to affect you seriously. It's going to affect you. And this is not just about feasting and not feasting. It is the time to do certain things. Okay? Very, very important. Now, go to Judges chapter 1. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites, to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. Amen. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. And they found Adoni Bezek in Bezek, in Masabit Bazak, and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Verse 6. Then Adoni Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. And Adoni Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table. As I have done, so God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now I want you to see, let's stop there for now. Now Joshua died, and he had allocated to each one their territory. But there were people to go and take over in the territory. The territories were not empty. You had to go and fight. But the grace to conquer was there. The time for conquest was then. So anyone who went and conquered was going to win, because the grace, that grace period was still there for them to go and take up the land, even if Joshua had died. Now go to verse 27. It says, verse 27. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its villages, or Tanakh and its villages, or the inhabitants of Do and its villages, or the inhabitants of whatever, Iblem and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. For the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. Now, the Canaanites wanted to dwell in the land, but the children of Manasseh who had been allotted that land, they only had to go and drive them out, because the grace God had already given it, even if Joshua died, anyone who went to capture land was just going to find them as if, you know, would be driving through, like cutting through wax. And that was the period. But then they got lazy. They got comfortable. So they took some of the land, and these people said, no, we are leaving. Okay, we have surrendered that one, but they dug in deep in here and said, no, we are not leaving. They would have left. You see what happened when Simeon and Judah went. They pursued this man, and he ran away, and they got him and killed him. Now that's what God had instructed them to do. Kill all of them. Drive them out of the land. Don't make covenants with them. Don't dwell with them. They are not supposed to be with you under whatever circumstances. Don't dwell with them. Now, but these people, it's too big a land. So we are going to just be comfortable. I'm trying to show you something here. Go to verse 28. And it came to pass when Israel, now this is very important. It came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but they did not completely drive them out. When they had the chance, they just say, okay, you be our servant. And they did what? They served them when they are still strong. But I will not read the rest of the whatever, but I'll tell you this. When the grace to conquer lifted, the Canaanites turned against Israelites, and now the Israelites became the servant, because they did not listen to God when he told them, destroy them. But when the grace was surviving, there are certain things which, by let me tell you, there are certain things which now we know. When you're in a place of strength, don't be stupidly merciful. Because when those people have an ascendancy over you, they don't care about you. You understand? Anyway, let me first, whatever. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. Go ahead. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. So the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Big mistake. Big mistake. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron and the inhabitants of Naholi. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute, because the grace was there. But the grace wasn't permanent. It lasted for some years after the death of Joshua. And after that, the grace lifted. And these guys who are begging you, let us stay with you, they turn around. Haven't you seen that? Now, if you know how to put these scriptures in life, and you know, actually, not just leave them in the Bible, you know what this means. So, go to chapter 2, verse 1. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Go ahead. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Go ahead. Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. Go ahead. So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of the place Bochim, which means weeping, and they sacrificed to the Lord there. You see, they realized they had made a mistake. Now, when the angel came, the grace had gone. If they had tried to subdue these people, they would not have. Now, the entirety of the book of Judges is about how those people would rise up against them, subdue them, then they cry to God, then God sends a judge. Then God sends Gideon. Then God sends Samson. Then God sends... But these are people who should never have been there, who had been allotted for death. Amen? Amen? Yeah. But you see now, when believers have a place of ascendancy and they are in control, there is a way they can be soft when God doesn't want them to be. When God wants them to go all the way, finish this problem once and for all, because I've unleashed the grace for it. Praise the Lord. I'll give you an example. And this is what is happening across the world. And this should tell you your season. Because you see, you have to understand that now, everything we live, the world is becoming interconnected. So your life is in connection to the world. It's in connection to the entirety of the world. It's in connection to the nation of Israel. So now, you look at Israel, you look at what's happening in the world, you look at what is trending, what is not trending, and then you know this is our time. Amen? Now, when we are locked down in COVID and the children of wickedness were celebrating, we are crying out to God, deliver us from these people. Now, a time has come when that turned out to be the worst thing they ever did, because they can no longer deceive people any longer. People woke up. Now, the ascendancy belongs to those who are serving God and the cause of God. You've seen that. And now God creates a dispensation. And you can look at it all over the world. For instance, I look at some countries like Argentina, where somebody who, you know, chosen of God. Then places like, you know, El Salvador. Then places like America even. Okay? Where at some stage, everything is about homosexuals, diversity, equity, and what? Well, you know that rubbish. Eh? What are your pronouns? Blah, blah, blah. But you see, the people of this world know when things have changed. Now, the children of darkness put all their efforts in one thing, all their eggs in one basket, and that is they just decided they are going to assassinate Trump. And that was a CIA job, there is no doubt. Because the guy who tried to shoot him and missed was trained at the CIA headquarters where they train, you know, skilled rifle snipers for so many months, just training for one thing, to put that bullet in the head of Donald Trump. Then God sends an angel to just turn his head like this. Enough for it to make news, but not enough to hurt him in any major way. You see, now God also plays them. Because if the bullet misses entirely, they can't even say there was no bullet. And they are capable of that, aren't they? But he says that he just take a bit of the ear so that it makes news. And people know, the man survived. So now he just plays them. The second one was even more dramatic. Now if you don't see God in these things, then you just know that you're not going to see God in anything, even in your life. The second one was even more dramatic, where the guy decides at 3 a.m., looks at his calendar and sees tomorrow I'll have time, so I'm going to play golf at this time. And the people in his inner circle are the only ones who know he's going to play golf. But somehow, there's a man who has been waiting there 12 hours with a gun to shoot him around the sixth hole. So he comes playing golf. And then, it's interesting because these Secret Service people who surrounded him and who saw the barrel of the man's gun waiting for Trump to show up, shot at him. But then I discovered later, it came out that this Secret Service guy who tried to shoot the shooter was 5 yards away. And the guy shot 6 times and missed. Obviously, it was fake. These Secret Service guys who were next to him were part of the plot. So they didn't want to kill their guy. How can a Secret Service man who has been trained to shoot all his life miss from 5 yards away 6 times? Not once, not twice, not 6 times. So you see, it was all God just messing them up. Now, imagine a scenario. He comes. He takes. Now, the people of the world, for them, they have already understood that now the cloud is shifting here. Now, the children of God, will they understand? That's a big question. Because even Zuckerberg, who is a lizard, is not even human, went there and they are calling it kissing the ring. If you see the Godfather saying, okay, we are very sorry, now you are the man, you're the new sheriff in town. So all of them are making now deals with him. All of them are making deals with him. Now, at that point, this is when he's supposed to do this. Subdue all of them, because if they have a chance, they would not leave you in a gap. If you see what happened in Canada, just praying, they come and arrest you for just praying. Or what's happening right now in the UK. People just go at the street side and start praying, and police comes and arrests them. Like, when you have an ascendancy like this, the children of Israel, don't give them breathing. Subdue them completely and finish them off. Now, when they come begging, because they know that God has given you the throne. Now, what they want is to cut deals. Let us coexist. But that's not how God deals. Because if they were the ones there, they would not coexist with you. When they were the ones there, they were trying to lock him up. Case after case and what and what. Now they come and, you know. So, but thankfully, I think he has learned a bit from the time he has been there. I hope. Okay? So there are certain things which you just keep quiet. But when God has given you the throne, you don't know negotiating. These are evil people. They don't wish you any well. They are like children of the devil. Some of them even actually children of the devil. Some of them are not even human. They are lizards. But they come. Now, the other day I was seeing Zuckerberg saying, now we are going to remove fact checkers. Now we are going to allow free speech. I said, man, God is powerful. Because that's all God. He just says, you are lying. And he switches, flips it like this. Now, if you don't understand that even in your personal lives, something has flipped. Now you are in the ascendancy. These things are not disconnected. You understand? Eh? The world is interlinked. At some stage, Iran was saying they are going to drive Israel into the sea. Now, Iran has been dismantled completely. Their proxy people, Hezbollah, Hamas, and all that have been dismantled. Now Iran is what? Is on its knees. Although, you have to pray for the inauguration of what? Of Trump. Eh? There's something they are planning. Actually, we are going to even take a minute here and pray for it. Eh? There's something they are planning there, and it is real. Because I noticed it was real, because I saw some guy who said he saw a vision of how they were going to do it. It was very detailed. They used getting fertilizers and things which look like fertilizer, but actually they are bombs, and they are going to blow up not just that place in Washington, but they are going to blow up most of Trump's, according to what he saw, all of his properties in Las Vegas, in New York, all those houses, even in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. That's the plan, according to him. And he said it's coming from Iran. So I want you to know that the devil always has a last kick. Amen? When you have to complete the conquest, which is what the children of Israel were supposed to do. You have to complete the conquest. But then, when I saw that vision, it was interesting. Because, I saw that guy narrating his vision of what they are planning for the inauguration on Monday. It was interesting because suddenly Obama says he's not coming. Bush says he's not coming. Obama's wife is not coming. Biden is not coming. They know something. Those people know something. So we have to pray. Because that's very important for us also. Don't think it's just America. It is not. It's important for us also. You understand? Eh? We cannot let the devil have a kick. That, you know what they call, what? The kick of a dying horse. Huh? Or a sting in the tail, so to speak. So now, how come all those people are pulling out? We are not coming. We are not coming. Why? So I started thinking this thing could have some truth to it. And now, anyway, it's in the hands of, we are going to have to pray. Now, when God will be happy when his children, in as far away as Uganda, are praying for what's happening there, then you will know the church is coming together. And you're not all thinking selfishly. Eh? You say, now I'm looking for rent and you're telling me to pray for Trump. Now you don't know. You are living in the wrong time. You are living in the wrong age. Now all these things are interconnected one way or the other. His victory somehow will transfer into what? Our victory. And now you see, as soon as he won, people, all the forces of darkness are taking what? Taking cover. And it's all for us, the children of light. So now, even in your personal lives, personally, yourself, you study the situation around you. And you notice that there are people who God has given for you to finish. Some of them might be business computers. Clear them completely until they go back to the village. Amen? Because if they had it, they would come for you. They would not have any mass on you. This is what God is telling these people. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now that you are warriors, amen? You know we are living ahead of our time. Because I've been teaching you how to be warriors for what? For almost 6 months. Now, don't let, there are certain people who are not supposed to remain breathing. And by breathing, I don't mean kill them. I mean, don't kill anybody. But I mean finish them off completely. Praise the Lord. Now it happened in America, it's going to happen here also. There are some people who think, now if you want to know how to deal with enemies, you see what I'm going to do with them. No jokes, by the way. Absolutely no jokes. The kingdom of God has to reign supreme. And they have to come and bow down and say, sure, your God is Lord. Praise the Lord. That's how God, you remember, you know, the Ten Commandments movie. You know, the movies can bring out things. The old one, not these ones, which are actually, can bring out things which are spectacular. When apparently one of Pharaoh's daughters loved Moses. Of course, that's not in the Bible. It is. They have to put some love to every story. So she has a crush on him. So then Pharaoh sends his people to go and kill Moses or bring him alive, one way or another, just to bring him. I know it starts with, they say, my God has said, let my people say this. Who is your God? We have our gods here. Who is your God? So he says, my God has said, who is your God? Then at the end of it, when Pharaoh goes, that's even not scripture, but it was good for a movie. Because Pharaoh died in the, according to the Bible, Pharaoh died in the what? In the sea. But here he went, he sent his soldiers, they all died. Then he came back to his sister who had the crush on Moses. And then she says him, so where is Moses? Then he sits, collapses in his chair and says, his God is God. Now it has to end like that. Where they have to acknowledge that my God is God. There is none other by sit down. Praise the Lord. You see now how people here are behaving as if they have power. Here. You wait and see. The season is turning and they are not seeing it. They are busy treating rubbish. They are not seeing it. But the season has turned, and it turns all over the world. It's turning across the world. It's turning. Like, our victory is guaranteed. The only victory that will not be taken is those who choose not to fight, or those who choose to coexist with the enemies, like the children of what? The Manassas, who they say they were determined not to. Of course, they are determined not to leave, but God has said, clear them, remove them, chase them away. Otherwise, they are going to be a serious problem in you. Now, this is the kind of warrior spirit that we are talking about. Praise the Lord. We are not, don't negotiate. Unless we are negotiating their surrender. Praise the Lord. Unless you are negotiating what? It has to be zero-sum game. There has to be a winner. And the winner is our God. Praise the Lord. If you do not understand that, now is the time of our victory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Every battle that we win, I mean that we fight, we are going to win. We are like the children of Israel when the grace was there. God said, just go and attack them. Like, I've given them all to you. They are there for your taking. Now, if you don't attack them, that's a different matter. But if you attack them, the grace is there. But you know, that grace, woke up one day, and it had gone. And now, this is what happens. People who were serving you, you start serving them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? So, now, I'm going to end by saying this. Be very sensitive about the seasons in your life. Very sensitive about the seasons in your life. We are living in the end times. Be extremely sensitive about the season in your life. Today when I was coming, you know, I've been having this thing about, you know, evangelism. You know, we sit here. Do you know that all these people who are in this academy, they don't even know there is a fellowship here? So we have found a way of doing the evangelism. Because if I tell you to come with somebody, you will not. You see, eh? Because there's certain laxity in the church these days, which, anyway. I remember days when we'd be on the street. I remember standing in why is a preaching street gospel. Come here, and people would get saved those days on the street. Then today, I was coming, then I saw people at the side of the street singing. A crusade, not a crusade, just on the pavement of the street, a few people singing. And I'm thinking, there's a wave of evangelism that is sweeping across. Yeah, but some of you have not picked it. Amen? Yeah, but you'll pick it maybe next year when it has shifted and to be a wave for something else. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, so now, do not be ignorant of the seasons in your life, in your personal life. When something ceases to be beautiful, it's most likely because its time has gone. So find where the beauty is. And find where it's leading you to, where you'll find a fresh breath of beauty. And enjoy that one. And slowly by slowly, you find out what the work the Lord has done for you from within you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Now finished preaching. You know, your timing, huh? It has ended. Uh-huh. Hey, okay, so it has already ended.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And where are you now?
At Mengo.
You're at Mengo?
Yes.
Hey, you came to Mengo now?
Yes.
Hey, you know we are moving closer to you. Closer and closer. Eh? Glory to God. Hey, praise the Lord. I've been telling what? I even told him the other day to tell you that your time there was ending. So when, how long have you been in Mengo?
I'm just assumed. This year.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. But now even your ascendancy to chief is going to be very fast.
Amen.
Yeah. It's going to happen very, very, very fast.
Amen.
Where's your wife? She only comes when you're here. It's okay. The Lord is rewarding your faithfulness, because you are one of the most faithful. I'm speaking that from a place of prophetic whatever. And the Lord is rewarding it seriously. There's somebody else whom God is telling me that he's lifting. This gentleman here. I haven't seen you in a very long time. What's your name? Rogers, what do you do? You're an accountant, eh? Okay. Hey, okay. Now there's a lifting, eh? Let me see, I don't know where it is.
Now sing that you're farming.
Eh?
Farming is
being
more popular. Profit. Now it's going to be really profitable. And in a way that you don't see it like that, there is still hope, flowing in hope, isn't it? But now you're going to see profit. Now this year you're going to be established. Really, and you're going to expand in that area. Even in things you've not thought of farming before, which are now I'm seeing something else. Although for farming, actually, even most, the more than farming, you get it to produce, because you get other, what is it here? Now that is the world. Where, like, not only your thing, but other people's. So they sell to you, and then you sell, buy for the market. And now God opens that door. Serious. Actually, if you have more money than one, the farming can be produced. And even you have like outgrowers as if for you, you organize farmers and they grow things and tell them, plant this and I'll find a market for you. And they come in more and more around the place where you have your land. Is it somewhere along with someone, Masada? Because I'm seeing you. So it was Masada. So you moved from Masada. See the car, and now in the name of Jesus, comes to you miraculously. Yeah? In the name of somebody, if you come there and says, you know, pay this, give this, and one shall give you this, and you jump into it, and like lifts your level in all the other things, even in your businesses you have in the, you know, in the account as a farmer. There's somebody who works with you here, but also is interested in you and wants us to work together. Either it's coming or it's there, like somebody who is in your account as a thing, but he's saying that as he pulls sources together and get involved in the farming. Either you've been trying to interest them, or they are trying to find a way in there.
So I'm
no, this one wants sperm. Okay, that is okay, but this one wants something to do with your family. He's also interested. Either he's coming, he's also interested in what? And like, it would be a nice thing to like, put resources together and do something on a broader scale. Okay, I think that's enough.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for an expansion for each and every person here. I thank you for the grace to take over. To take over, and you've released it to us, Father. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we shall not hold it in vain, but we shall take advantage of this grace and expand our territories and expand our frontiers in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because you push us, and by your grace, we push ourselves to go and expand. And 2025 will not be anything like what has been before. It comes with new things, with new opportunities, which, Father, by your Spirit, you help us to spot, to see, and walk into them. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father. I speak a blessing upon each and everybody here. I speak a multiplication. I speak a fresh season. A fresh season that everybody spots and sees and walks into it. And we shall have no fear as we walk into the new season. We shall walk in faith, knowing that you've opened up the doors for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're supposed to pray for Trump. Eh? Stand up and we pray for him. Now take this person, eh? Like, let it be personal to you, eh? Don't behave as if it's those ends for me, I'm here, you know. Your prayers are most effective if they are fervent prayer of a righteous man, a very much, according to the scripture. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Donald Trump before you, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Father, that even as your hand has protected him throughout, from the beginning, even up to this day, we pray in the name of Jesus, that you protect him, and not just him, even his family, his children, who are also a target. I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that your protection is upon them, and there shall be no harm on him or his children, in the name of Jesus, or any of his close people, in Jesus' name. And now we cancel every plan of the enemy to cause harm. We cancel every plan of the enemy to cause harm, in the name of Jesus. We speak that you, Lord, by your grace, dismantles it as you have done before. You dismantle it, you tear it to pieces, and all the planning comes to naught in the name of Jesus. It all comes to naught, and everything that has been planned does not happen. And that day goes smoothly, we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray that it goes smoothly, and we continue to lift up that man, the president-elect of America, into your hands, Father, because he is pursuing an agenda of this, our kingdom. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we also pray that even as he sits there, he shall know that he's there to dismantle every work of darkness, and there shall be no mercy in his eyes as he dismantles the works of darkness, even as you prescribed to your children in the days of Joshua, and told them, do not make covenants with them. Do not make covenants with them. Subdue them completely and drive them out of the land in the name of Jesus. Now every work of evil driven out of that country in Jesus' name. And even as you do it for that country, Father, we thank you because you do it for our country as well. Because evil shall not prevail in the name of Jesus. Even as your word spoke, Psalms 125 verse 3, the scepter of wickedness shall not rest in a land allotted to the righteous. So in the name of Jesus, Father, we claim that scripture today for us, for what's happening on Monday in Washington, in the name of Jesus. And we speak your protection upon Donald Trump. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that the planning has been great, but by a swipe of your hand, it all comes to nothing, and it is all exposed, and it all comes to naught. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Also, I want to tell you, on Monday we have a partners meeting.
Now, if you want to be serious about 2025, you come on Monday. Now, we are going to talk serious things about how not to continue the routine of what it has been like. So, if you're a partner, you want to come on Monday. We are going to be here or there, wherever. But come with an expectation of making this a different year. And I'm going to tell you how we are going to do it on Monday. And I'm going to prepare your mind to see this as something different. Because seasons are not just told by what is beautiful. The scripture says that actually the first thing that shows seasons, according to Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, he says he made the sun, the moon and the stars as what? For seasons, for times and seasons. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. So a year is not just a continuation. It's not just December to January, another month. No, God put these years for times and seasons. Now the times and seasons also reflect in your life. Amen? So don't let anybody tell you, but what's the difference between what? It's just calendars. What? No, no, it's not just calendars. Okay? Because the years happen when there is a full rotation. So, and that rotation was not put by calendars, it was put by God. So it's for signs and seasons. So now, 2025 is a sign, is a season for something in your life. And I want you to actually grasp what that is for and come on Monday and we shall talk about it exhaustively. For the first, to notice the new year, I even went and came back. Eh? Amen.
That was the Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabal Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.